You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found in the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Sarah Clemmy, president of Madison Festival. Sarah, how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, we are excited to have you because you got Madison Festivals does an incredible amount of stuff.
It does. Madison Festivals has been around for a long time. So we are a nonprofit organization,
sure.
Registered 501c3.
Nice.
And we own and produce the Taste of Madison,
okay.
The Madison Marathon, which happens in November.
All right.
And then Run Madtown, which is another racing event that happens in May.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's cool.
So just small events, right?
Yeah, just small events. But Madison Festivals has run the gamut of a lot of different things. They
okay.
were involved with Rhythm and Booms.
Oh, really?
Bratfest.
Okay.
Kites on Ice.
Wow.
The Kids Expo, yep.
Sure.
So they've done a ton of different things, but right now it's those three events that are our core.
Nice. And yeah. How long have you been a part of them?
Oh my goodness, only since May.
So new.
It's a new role. So my predecessor retired at the
okay.
end of April. She
mm-hmm.
was pretty amazing, Rita Kelleher. She recently won the Distinguished Achievement Awards
oh,
from
well.
Destination Madison. Yeah. So she set Madison Festivals up to
sure.
be a really stable organization and a nonprofit
okay.
in a way that we could really give back to the community.
Sure.
So we're nonprofit, so these events that we're running are nonprofit. So most people don't
sure.
realize that, like, when you go to the Taste, for example, or when
mm-hmm.
you run the Madison Marathon, that it's actually a fundraising event.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because we've gone to Taste of Madison almost every year for decades, maybe.
Yeah.
And you have no idea who puts it on or really
right.
anything about it. You just know this took a lot of organization.
Right. So I think a lot of people, and myself included until I took the job, which is
mm-hmm.
kind of embarrassing to
sure.
admit,
yeah, that's all
just thought that the money went to, you know, line someone's pockets.
Sure.
But it doesn't. So since the inception, Madison Festivals and the Taste have donated over $1.2 million just from the Taste alone back into local nonprofits.
Wow.
So it's all money that's staying here in
sure.
Dane County,
right okay.
in our own community, and giving back to the other nonprofits. So
sure.
it's making a difference.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how do they choose who to give the money to?
So there's a couple different things. Most of the three events, the Taste and then the two marathons,
mm-hmm.
are... We rely so heavily on help of volunteer groups.
Yeah.
So Taste of Madison literally uses thousands of volunteers.
Do they really?
Yeah. So these groups come in and they work one of the 26 different beverage stands.
Okay.
And they get reimbursed for their time. So
sure.
they're getting paid for their time. So
They, the group. Okay.
So Sun Prairie Boosters, for example,
sure.
could come and run a booth
mm-hmm.
and we would pay them for that, donate
okay.
money back to their cause,
mm-hmm.
as well as when you leave a tip
mm-hmm.
at a beverage stand, that money all goes to all of those nonprofits.
Gotcha.
So they get all the tip money, and then we routinely give back, on average, about $60,000 a year just
wow.
from the Taste.
Sure.
And then 2 years ago, Madison Festival started doing a granting program.
Okay.
So we gave out $5,000 grants just to different community organizations that were aligned with our mission.
Sure.
Our mission's pretty broad, so
right.
it's to bring events that enrich our community. So
okay.
that can be a bunch of different things.
Yeah, enrich is awful. That's the key word there.
That's right? the key word there. So that can be subjective.
Sure, right.
But so it's been really good. It's really fun. I'm new in the role.
Yeah.
Event planning is not something that's new to me.
Sure.
And being philanthropically involved is not something that's new to me, but they're
mm-hmm.
both things that are passions of mine.
Sure.
So finding this position a few months ago and jumping into this role has been a really good fit.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
I hope to be here till I retire, which sounds a little crazy and scary, but I actually mean that.
That's like 40 years from now or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, that's like 400 years from now because I'm only 22.
No, that's forever. That's awesome. So far, you got to tell me, I guess, about the transition from when, I forget the woman's name that you said.
Rita.
Okay, so Rita says, hey, I'm out of here, I'm retiring.
Right.
You come in there. Was it just like, hey, Sarah, figure this out? Or was there a an easier, smoother transition? Or?
Well, so it's really interesting. So mm-hmm. I am the only legal employee of Madison Festivals.
Oh, interesting.
And then we have a volunteer board of directors.
Okay.
And then we hire a great company called Race Day Events out of mm-hmm. Fitchburg. So they actually do our event execution and production.
Okay.
So when I came in, Rita was really good at keeping detailed notes and records. Sure. So I have all of that. And mm-hmm. we overlapped by about a month.
Okay.
So we got to talk.
It's really not that much
all
time.
All of April. It's not that much time. Nope. But then now I just kind of...
Just work
it
I'm
out. Just winging it.
All right.
But I'm not winging it.
Sure.
This Race Day Events crew, I have a project manager that's assigned to each event.
Okay.
And they are pros.
Nice.
So they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They have it covered. And now I'm just kind of coming in to, I don't know, I guess disrupt. And they're being very tolerant of my
sure.
disrupting.
All right.
And then our board, we've had our volunteer board of directors. A lot of them have been on the board for a very long time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they have a lot of history and know, just, they just know that history of
sure.
of what's been successful,
sure.
what hasn't been successful. And
all right.
I'm here to
so
challenge.
I'm afraid to ask this, so you can just plead the fifth if you want to.
Uh-oh. Okay.
But I've been on a few boards, and there have been people that hung around for a long time and weren't, I don't want to use the word useful anymore, but you know what I mean, right?
I do know what you mean.
They're just filling space.
I do know what you mean. Luckily, we don't have that.
Okay.
But I have also been parts of those boards
All right.
where you just go, okay, you got to go.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're on a board, mm-hmm. it's so interesting because to me, you should either be there because you're going to make a financial contribution.
Right.
You're going to make some connections mm-hmm. or you're going to put in the work.
Right.
And the MFI board has really, they really started off as a working board and
okay.
have transitioned into more of an advisory board.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So my position came on Rita, when they first hired Rita, that was about 11 years ago. So she was
wow.
the first employee and
okay.
I'm only the second employee
sure.
of Madison Holy Festivals.
Cow.
So they, everybody who's on our board,
mm-hmm.
wants to be there.
Okay.
And has put in the time and the efforts, and I wouldn't say useless at all.
Okay. All, that's fair. That's totally
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, they all have their good points, but I definitely know what you mean.
It's a room full of opinions, I guess, with any board, so
right.
you have to take the ebbs and flows in that regard, I guess, learning who needs to be treated how. Or...
Well, and I technically report to the board, so they oh. are all wonderful.
So that's fair. That's a lot of bosses.
That's a lot of bosses.
So how do they pick who's going to be on the board then? Or has that been set in stone a decade ago and no
There's
one's
a
left?
Nominating process.
Okay.
Yep. So if there was somebody who was interested,
sure.
I would encourage them to reach out to either myself mm-hmm. or the chair of our board. And then that would go through just your standard nominating process.
Mm-hmm.
The board as a whole would discuss it.
Sure.
I'd meet with them to talk more about what are the expectations of a board member,
mm-hmm.
How often we meet.
Okay.
Just things of that nature.
Sure.
Because I don't really want anybody, and they shouldn't want to be on a board if they don't actually want to be there.
Right.
If you're just using this as a resume
sure.
booster.
Sure. Take a walk.
Yeah. I don't, we don't really need you on
right.
MFI. You shouldn't be on any board if it's just for a
right.
resume booster.
Right. Totally agree.
Go volunteer.
Totally agree. So Madison Festivals, I'm thinking the Taste of Madison has been around more than 11 years.
Yeah, 37.
So has it really?
This will be its 37th wow. year. So the Taste of Madison was actually started by Destination Madison, which
okay.
is the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Okay.
And so they started the event, you know, 37 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
as a way to bring people downtown Madison. Because
gotcha.
It was traditionally just pretty dead downtown.
Yeah, you're talking 37 years ago. You're talking early 80s then, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
83,
sir,
I think.
Okay.
Yep,
that was pre my in Madison time, but I
Mine
heard
as
that
well.
It was a little bleak back then downtown.
Well, and it's that seems odd to say because there's a college right down there,
yeah.
but school, it doesn't start till after Labor Day. So they wanted to do something where they could bring people downtown Madison. And
mm-hmm.
so they started the Taste, did it for a handful of years, and then really realized that, you know, the mission,
mm-hmm.
in layman's terms, I guess, would be to put heads in beds, to
sure.
book hotel rooms, to bring
okay.
people to the city.
Sure.
And that's evolved over the years, but
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And event planning isn't something that they realized they should be focusing
sure.
on
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Okay.
So they actually created the Madison Festivals Board.
Oh.
And, yeah, so it's a separate entity, but it's the Madison Festivals Board.
Sure. We're talking still 30-odd
yeah,
years ago?
Yeah, 30-ish years ago.
Okay.
And then have just kind of, it's evolved from there.
Okay.
So we're not, affiliated with in the sense of under the same umbrella as Destination Madison. We are our own separate entity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at what point did you, or did they, I guess, transition from just being a board to being a separate entity, so to speak?
Right away. Okay. So we are always separate. We'll always have someone from Destination Madison on our board.
Gotcha.
I mean, we work really, really closely together.
Sure.
Because
same
both,
goal.
Well, yeah, we both have the same goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of bringing people to the city, enriching our city, doing things that are just for the benefit of everyone who's living here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is producing events that have a strong economic impact.
Sure.
On Madison.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was surprised to learn that Run Madtown was the first event that I had in my new role
here. All right.
It was Memorial Day.
Nice.
And I was surprised to learn that the direct spending impact of that event was over $400,000.
Was it really?
Yes. For a running race.
That,
you know,
is
it's
a lot
people
of jack.
Coming from out of town, they're staying at hotels,
sure.
they're parking, they're getting gas here, they're eating at our restaurants, they're shopping at our stores, they're seeing our city.
I love that you mentioned almost $500,000 and part of that is parking.
Oh,
that's what it's like to park in the city. Right?
That's what it's like to park in the city. I do love that about Sun Prairie, that you can park anywhere and it's free.
Right.
I do like that. Yes.
I feel every time I park downtown, and maybe compared to the cities, it's not that expensive. But to me, I'm like, I feel like I'm paying for the ramp on my own.
Right. Well, and you have to pay because they are sticklers.
Yes.
I have gotten multiple parking tickets.
Yes.
Just for being off a little bit.
Yeah.
One time I put I transposed the numbers of
the
meter.
So
I put
no.
the wrong meter number in.
Right.
Yeah, don't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can do it all from your phone now, though.
Right. Right. I get it. It's just weird that it's not like, well, that was $1.50. Why are we counting that? Like, no, that was thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the Destination Madison actually has an algorithm that they input everything in the back end. So they are the ones that figure out how that number works.
Okay, so they say number of runners times X amount for hotels, food, parking.
See,
blah,
now
blah,
you're
blah.
Getting into math, and I was not a math major,
oh,
so I don't know the science behind
this
it.
This is what I do when I do business coaching. I
oh
help clients figure out where the money is going and where it's coming from.
Where it's coming from.
And a lot of times they don't know, right? So you help them measure it. But yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just like, how much are you contributing? Some.
I don't know. A little of this, a little
of that.
Yeah,
we bring people. What do you want?
What do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a really fun adventure so far. I'm really enjoying it and loving it. And
sure. So how did your first event go?
It went great. It was so fun. It was so cool.
Sure.
There's two separate races. So there's a Saturday night kids race, 5K and 10K, and then a Sunday morning half marathon.
Sure.
And so the half marathon started and finished at the Capitol Square.
Oh, nice.
And then the Saturday night portion took place. They start and finished on Library Mall.
Oh, very cool.
Like State
All right.
Street,
sure.
where the fountain is. Yep. So it was just really fun, like a really relaxed atmosphere.
Sure.
I am not a runner.
No.
At all.
All right.
I took this job and I thought, I'm going to be a runner.
Sure.
So I made it, I don't know. I'd like to say a week, but I know that's being generous to myself. I didn't make it a week.
Okay.
So the Run Madtown race is something to me that's more accessible because it has the 5K, it has the 10K.
Okay.
As a non-runner, I feel like I could do that.
Sure.
So it was really fun just to see the energy and the camaraderie down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go the next day to the half marathon, and people can finish these half marathons in the amount of time that I could finish maybe a mile or two.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
These people are wild.
Right, right. I just did my first half marathon, I don't know, spring sometime, March, April, something like that.
Oh.
And it was a down and back thing. It was my first one. I didn't train for it, so it hurt a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
And it hurt more for the next week. Anyways, you're watching the people come back, and you're like, I just passed mile 6.
Right.
And you're like on your deathbed.
Right.
And these people are coming back to you and they look like they're running from the cops. They're just determined.
Right.
And just driven. And they've already, like, they're a few miles ahead of you.
Yes.
Like, how did you maintain
that? They are so fast. The dedication that these groups of runners have, and this race day crew that I work with to execute the events, they do tons of different others.
Like, sure.
I'm just a very small portion, but they're doing triathlons and integral with the Ironman. And so watching that whole world and even seeing, because everyone who works there has, you know, an interest in the running and the swimming and the biking.
Okay.
And So watching them and hearing that language, it's just like, yeah. It's almost intoxicating. It makes me want to be a runner again, but
Let's do this.
Yeah, I'm just going to be truthful. Like, yeah, I know who I am and I am not
sure.
a runner.
Biker, swimmer?
Well, I can bike if it's a stationary bike.
Okay.
So I really like those high-intensity biking classes.
Okay.
But I do not like to ride a bike out on the street.
Really?
I know. Isn't that awful? How come,
like, because of traffic?
Because I'm nervous. I get so nervous I'm going to fall down. I can't take corners quickly. No, I would be awful.
All right.
But put me in one of those classes at the pack.
Sure.
You know, and I clip my shoes in.
And I pedal faster.
Oh, my gosh. And I just pretend that I'm out there biking
sure.
in these spaces. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, no, and I decided I was going to be a swimmer, so I went back out and I bought, like, the fancy suit and the goggles.
Sure.
And again, that lasted about a week. I just sound like such awesome. A quitter right now, but I'm really
that
not.
That is fantastic.
I'm physically in shape. I just
sure.
can't do these things that all these, you know.
Right.
Other athletes
well, I mean, not everybody's built for that. I found out I'm not built for a half marathon. So.
Well, maybe not without training.
Yeah, that's. I don't have to do that again. That's
well,
okay.
If you want to, we'll give you a shot at Madison Marathon in November. I've heard the course is brutal, though. As a non-runner, I can't
sure.
say that from experience, but I've heard it's really hilly and very brutal.
It's in November, too, right?
It's in November.
So it's cold?
Well, it's cold, but we're going to reward you afterwards with
okay.
know, mac and cheese or
well,
chili
now you have my interest.
Brats, beer.
Sure. You had my interest
music.
In mac and cheese. We're all good. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So how long has Madison Events been doing, or Madison Festivals, I'm sorry, been doing these marathons? Because if you started from Taste of Madison, were they just like, let's do some runs too? Or
no, so it's actually an interesting story. So Madison Marathon will be celebrating 25 years this
Holy cow.
Year. That was
okay.
also started by Destination Madison
okay.
and then given over to Madison Festivals.
Sure.
But it used to always be in the spring. So it was always this Memorial Day weekend, the same
okay.
weekend that Run Madtown is.
Mm-hmm.
But the temperature, and I don't know it off the top of my head, can't
sure.
be above a certain threshold at a certain time, or they cancel the
gotcha.
Full marathon.
Okay.
And it was hot so many years in a row that
sure.
they kept having to cancel the
sure.
full marathon. And imagine training for that.
Be a little sad.
Yeah, and you pay, and
mm-hmm.
especially if you're coming from out of town, it's a big commitment. And
mm-hmm.
then to have it get canceled.
Sure.
And it's really a safety thing. Like,
sure.
you know, they're canceling it because of safety reasons.
Right.
So after having to be canceled a handful of years, they decided to remove the full marathon from May and move it to November.
Solve the heat issue.
But we didn't want to give up Memorial Day weekend. It was
mm-hmm.
a great weekend to have an event here. Again,
sure.
school is out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was, it's just a fun weekend to do something.
Sure.
So we decided to do Run Madtown because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're running around Madtown. Run
right.
Madtown.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep the half and the full
okay.
in November.
So how long is the Run Madtown?
That happened about 5 years ago.
Okay, but like distance-wise, it's not a half marathon?
Oh, distance-wise, I'm sorry. There's a 5K,
okay.
a 10K, and a half.
Oh, they
so
do have a half.
So they have
okay.
the half. So the half was never getting canceled, just the full.
Gotcha. Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
See, so we're in 13.2 miles in 100-degree
well,
heat.
Well, right. I mean, but that's nothing.
For some people.
Oh, my gosh. And then there's a kids' race that night, which is really
sure.
fun, too.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cute.
That's cool. So does Destination Madison come up with this stuff and just pass it off to you guys? Or?
Well, it sure sounds like it back
it
in the
does,
day.
It right?
Yeah, no, not recently that I've been aware of.
Sure.
But our chair of the Madison Festivals board,
mm-hmm.
his name is Jamie Patrick, and he's actually a VP for the Madison Area Sports Commission.
Oh, really?
Which
okay.
is affiliated with Destination Madison.
Okay.
So he's constantly coming up with and creating new events. So
uh-huh.
he was really instrumental in bringing CrossFit Games to Madison.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which is
kudos to him. That's
an
cool.
athlete of a whole different
yes.
level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the cool thing about Madison. It caters to so many different interests and skills and
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just fun.
It is super cool. Yeah, there's a health, I suppose. I don't know. There's a lot of healthy
health
people
love.
Around here, right?
Yeah.
And you think if I'm a CrossFit person or Ironman or something like that, I'm looking
right.
for healthy food. You're in the right town to find stuff like that.
And then you come to the Taste.
That's right. We'll just fix all that.
And you can have fried food.
Sure.
And drink beer. And
right.
just, but you could just walk the square, I
sure.
guess, a bunch of times.
Remind me again, when is the Taste of Madison?
It's Labor Day weekend. So it's not this
coming
weekend.
Up.
It's next weekend. Labor
nice.
Day weekend. Yeah.
And is
yes.
that Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It's a Saturday, Sunday. Saturday,
okay.
11 to 8. And
okay.
Sunday 2 starts at 2.
Okay.
It's completely free to attend.
Nice.
So you don't have to pay any money to get in.
Sure.
All the entertainment's free. It's the food and the beverage that has the cost.
But very cool.
If you wanted to, you wouldn't have to pay at all.
Right, right.
But if you do, it goes to charity.
But you got all the food there. How could you not spend a couple bucks and try some of that? Gosh,
right? 80 food stands this year.
80?
80. Holy 80 cow. Food stands. It's all of Capitol Square.
Sure. So who, well, maybe it's you that organizes which food stands get to be there?
So that would be the project manager at Race Day Events. So, yep. So the event is owned by Madison Festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But the project manager would be the person who coordinates all of that.
Gotcha.
So the restaurants apply.
Okay.
We get about 20% new each year.
Oh, wow.
A lot return. Want to come back. You know, it's fun for them.
Well, they probably make some money.
Yeah, they make some money, and it's a way for them to show off their restaurant. And
sure.
You know, someone who maybe never goes to XYZ restaurant gets to try a little bite, loves it, goes back.
Right.
It's a new branding for a lot of new people. Taste attracts about 250,000 people.
Does it really?
Over the course of the weekend. So it's busy.
Holy cow.
It's a rain or shine event.
Sure.
Unless it was dangerous rain. But yep, rain or shine event. Come on downtown.
I think it was there. It was last year or 2 years ago we got downpoured on.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a bummer because that affects the charities.
Right.
When how many tips they can make or if we have to close down.
Oh, we
early.
Worked it out. We just got wet.
You just got wet. Good. I'm glad you stayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, any lines, that's no longer an issue. So.
And you can throw an extra 10 in their tip bucket.
Though. Sure. I didn't go crazy like that. Maybe I should have.
Yeah, I don't get crazy like that.
Wait, I just bought more food is what I came down to.
Hey, that works.
That's all good.
Got to stay warm.
So I was at the Corn Fest this weekend.
Yep.
And we talked to somebody from the Sun Prairie Chamber, and they were talking about Corn Fest just in the whole. They said that they're already preparing for Corn Fest next year.
Oh, sure, I bet.
Right? So a year ahead. So, which means that, because I was thinking about you then, I was like, whoa, these events take a year to plan?
Yeah.
And then when you have multiple events, you got to tell me a story, like, how do you keep track of all that?
Well, luckily now the race day staff does.
Oh, nice, okay.
But my background is in event planning, so this is what I've been doing for a long time.
Sure.
So prior to even back in the day, I worked for an organization in Green Bay called PMI Entertainment Group.
Okay.
And they're the entertainment management company. They manage the Rush Center, Chapel Hall, the Brown County Arena, if anyone's familiar with Green Bay. So it's all the concerts or sporting events besides the Packers.
Sure.
And then I handle their trade show and expo division. So
oh, nice.
A wedding show, home and garden, things of that nature. And that ended up being around 60 shows a year.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a lot. Not all were owned by us and operated by us. Some were just rentals. But keeping that all straight, it's just...
That's crazy. That's more than one a week.
Yeah. Definitely. Yep. Definitely more than one a week. But there were three buildings. So it's just being organized. And, you know, once you've been through an event...
Yeah.
You just making sure that you got all your
becomes
ducks
old
in a
hat,
row.
Huh?
Yeah, it becomes old hat. No, I think more of the challenge with the events, you know, because any event planner, I think a solid one can tell you just how to stay organized and the you know, boxes you have to check.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's knowing how to stay ahead of the trends.
Ah, okay.
Because how do you know what is going to be the big thing next year? Or how do I know it's going to be the big thing in 3 years?
Sure.
Or what your community is going to respond to?
Sure.
I think that's what's been interesting.
Okay. So how do you solve that?
Oh, you just intimidate others. Okay. Not intimidate others. Imitate others. I hope I don't imitate.
You just make
intimidate.
Your own
path. Oh, my gosh. I haven't even been drinking.
Imitate others. Okay.
Imitate others. Yeah, and that's really what events are. It's all about finding good ideas all over and copying good ideas.
Oh, sure.
And it's okay to say that and to, you know, we
just
all
like
have to learn from
book?
Each other.
Sure. Any good book, any good song,
right.
any good poem. It's all taking stuff from stuff previously.
From stuff previously, yeah. And then just trying to take risks. And I guess for me now in this role is really hammering down on what our mission truly means and what our strategy and our goals really are.
Okay.
And then taking risk that fits within that and staying true to that.
Okay.
You know, I went to a business breakfast a couple months ago, and it was the CEO of Frank Productions.
Okay.
And he was talking a lot about their core values as an organization.
Sure.
And their number one core value was their people.
Their people.
Their people. Okay. Their team, their staff. And mm-hmm. I had just never been listening to a CEO before talk about
sure.
their team, their core people as being like the number one. Because you sure. always hear the other people say, oh, it's the community. It's our customers.
Sure.
And he was saying, no.
Yeah, it's, without it's employees.
Our people.
Right.
And we are focused on doing things that fit that
sure.
and breathe life into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be hard to always make decisions and take risks, especially
sure.
when you get criticized for mm-hmm. certain things. Not that they have been, just in general.
Right.
And staying true to your mission and your
goals.
It's
extremely, we do that with my businesses, and that's tough sometimes.
Right.
Especially when, if there's ever any issue and the customer comes to me, then mm-hmm. I have to err on the side of assuming that we did our job, we as our team, right?
Right.
And have, try to figure out who did what to really see if it was a problem, but you always right. err on that your team did right because they've been trained to do right,
right,
and they've done right so much before
right.
that you can only assume that the customer is wrong.
But you don't want to alienate your customer either
because
it
all.
Might be a learning opportunity for your team as well.
Yeah, so typically I have to go to the team and I have to say the customer didn't just make this up, right? So I have to say why do they have this perception
right.
and assume that the team did right and it's just a miscommunication.
Yeah.
And I'd say probably 80% of the time it was miscommunication and everything's cool.
Right.
And that, let's say 10% of the time we messed up and 10% of the time the customer messed up, but we can't tell them that they messed up. So it's a
you're just crazy.
Tiptoe around that.
Sorry. Well, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, you just tap dance and just say, here's some data we have. Just how does that help you?
What I find interesting in this role now that I'm in
yeah.
is there was always somebody else I could go to, and granted, I have
sure.
the board now, but mm-hmm. with the hard decisions or the decisions that people don't like.
Sure.
And that everyone has this desire to be liked or
true.
To not tick people off.
Sure.
And I've been a bit of a disruptor always.
All right.
I come in, I push, challenge.
Sarah's here.
So I'm one of those, but I've never had to be always like the buck stops here and the buck
sure.
doesn't stop here. You know,
okay. There's a
board. But having to be that person who is making those tough decisions
sure.
can be a bit overwhelming sometimes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, learning to manage that.
Sure.
So
how do you solve that?
Oh, I just drink wine. Oh. No, I'm just kidding. I drink wine and I go to my high-intensity biking class.
This is the authentic part right
This
here.
Is the authentic part right here. All should right. I not say that? On the air that I drink wine.
That's just honest, right? You're in Wisconsin. It's cool.
I guess managing, making some of the tough decisions goes back to that really hammering down on what the goals and the values are
sure.
of MFI. And that's still something that I'm wrapping my head around mm-hmm. of, you know, just because something's always been done a certain way, it might be the best way, but
right.
it might not.
Right.
So looking at other assumption. Opportunities.
Sure.
Yep. So right now I'm wrapping my head around what do we want to be? What
mm-hmm.
are we? Are we doing the best things for the community? And then
sure.
just having to feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never lie.
All
so
right.
then I know that, you know, like I'm always just
sure
sticking,
authentic.
Sticking to my guns. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So do you believe that you were hired partially because of that? Because you're a disruptor and you're willing to challenge things?
Oh, probably.
Okay.
Probably, yeah.
Sure.
Coming in with a fresh perspective is always helpful.
Sure.
And coming in as a non-runner,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm looking at things differently. And I will tell you the truth, I haven't been to Taste
oh.
for quite a while.
Really? Well, in 2 weeks, you'll change that.
2 weeks will change that. So I'm one of those silly gluten-free people.
Okay.
So I'm a celiac. So
all right.
I have just typically avoided going to the Taste because I...
That's just pure temptation.
It's pure temptation, yeah, that I wouldn't engage in usually, but... You know, as a gluten-free person, your options usually are a fresh fruit cup or
sure.
a salad,
right.
and I don't want that. So that's one thing when I'm looking at the, you know, like looking at the Taste or even looking at the food for the marathons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to just do a bag lunch with a
sure.
sub sandwich. Like, it's a different perspective of
oh,
coming
sure.
in and going, hey, we're not reaching our true audience.
Right.
You know, so I think that, yeah, coming in with that. And
mm-hmm.
and I love the community engagement piece.
Okay.
I love being out and talking to people
mm-hmm.
and networking and just getting the message out there.
Sure.
I mean, we met at a volunteer function together.
We did. We did a Try for Schools.
For Schools. So I love just doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really, really helpful when they were looking at who they were going to hire.
Sure.
Someone who personally has a passion.
Sure.
With philanthropic endeavors.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you, it sounds like Race Day Events takes on a lot. You mm-hmm. must be having to chase down sponsors then.
I'm not.
You're not chasing down sponsors?
Yes, I think I hope to change that because that's one of the things I really do love to do. I love being out there and talking to different businesses.
Right.
And, my very, very first job was selling television advertising.
Was it really?
It was. Back in the day for the WB, which doesn't even exist anymore. It was the CW now, which... Yep. You know,
right?
Whatever. Yeah, but that was probably the best first job I could have had because I was so beaten up all the time.
Oh, because people just say no or slam the door.
People are so mean. Just they be nice to the salespeople when they call you on the phone.
Without a sale, nothing happens.
Well,
right?
Yeah, just be nice. You know, so people are just brutal, and that was a big learning lesson. But I got to meet.
Sure.
So many people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this better than anybody, but with sales, whether it's for advertising or sponsorship or anything, it's a circle relationship.
Definitely.
So it has to work for both parties. Mm-hmm. And I think once I realized that, like, okay, that's what helped make me successful in sales.
Right.
Was learning that maybe it's not going to work this time. Or maybe, yes, I want that sale, but maybe that's not the right thing for them.
Sure.
And being able to take a step back. Mm-hmm. And again, being authentic and truthful with people.
Right.
It's hard sometimes, but it usually is always.
Very true.
Beneficial.
Very true. I had that. I don't know if you read the book.
I did read the book.
Nice. High five.
I read the book.
Boom.
Well, I didn't read. I audio listened to it.
That's close enough
for
me.
Very nice.
That's probably better.
It was great. No, I love reading, though. I love a hard copy book in front of me.
Nice.
But it was nice to listen to on my drive.
Well, very cool.
Yes.
So I talk in there about the advertising person where I advertised with them, and it was a train wreck.
Yep.
And she still came back and was like, so you want to renew? Yeah. I'm like, well, who are you? Why would I want to renew?
Right. Well, and you just, I mean, I don't know. It's knowing your audience.
Yeah.
Everyone, I think with a salesperson, especially a green salesperson, you're so eager to get the sale that you'll do anything to get that first sale rather than just realizing, like, no,
it's
you really
got
to look out for everyone because it might not be a good fit now, but it might be later.
Right. Totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah, so. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Man, TV sales would be interesting.
It was. And you know, granted, that was a long time ago.
Sure.
But
back
it was
when people watched TV.
Back when people watched TV. Yeah, none of this, you know, DVR stuff.
It's weird because I was thinking on the, you always think about where you're going to advertise.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh my gosh, all of the possibilities for advertising. Where I think back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, really, what did you have for options for advertising? There weren't many that you could really afford as a small business.
Right.
Where now, your problem now is, what platform can you go on where you actually have a reach?
Right.
You have to go on a bunch of different platforms now.
Well, you know, I think back when I was selling TV, a big competitor for us was the Yellow Pages.
Sure.
You know, you don't. Mm-hmm. That's not really a competitor.
Not anymore.
Anymore.
Right.
Or even like for the taste, we used to do a big printed booklet, I guess.
Sure.
That would go out to everybody.
Oh.
And we don't do anything like that anymore.
Sure.
Like this year, it'll all be through an app.
Okay.
That people download. But there's none of that print advertising.
Sure.
I'll admit it, though. Like, I still get the newspaper. Like, I am a subscriber of the State Journal, of the Star.
Right.
Like, but again, I love that hard copy.
I'm right there with you. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I had somebody laugh at me about reading the paper. And I'm like, it's just different because you can look at the articles. The size of the articles are based on assumed importance from the editor or whatever. Where on the internet, when you look up news or something like that, it's just, it's more, I don't know, it's just drier.
Well, and it's so quick.
Yeah.
So I noticed that with my kids, if they can watch TV or if they can look at an iPad, because an iPad, they can flip through things so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And at TV, I only let them watch, you know, actual TV.
Right.
So I got to watch PBS in the morning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's great. PBS is great.
It's fantastic. I was listening to Mr. Fred Rogers' biography.
Oh, it's a good one. Did
you
like that?
Cool. I did. Yeah.
He's an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an interesting history.
He does. He does.
Yeah.
I do not have that temperament.
No, I don't
well, I shouldn't
think
say
most,
that.
Most people don't.
He yelled a few times, I guess, in there, which is surprising. But it's interesting how just even keel he
right.
is. Yeah.
Right.
To the point of having a hard time speaking to adults, it sounds like.
Yeah, it did sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading in that book that he was on Oprah, and he was just the worst interviewer
right.
or interviewee to have on Oprah because he focused so much yeah. on one of the kids that
yes.
came out, and she couldn't get him off the...
She's like, commercial.
Right, right. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Super yeah. cool. Mm-hmm.
We've been all over the board right now.
Yeah, you know,
this is great.
This is how we roll here.
I love it.
Fun. We have a conversation. People have a good time.
Yeah.
So good. I imagine you've had some challenges since you came on, not this show, but on this job. So what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've had that maybe were not expected? I mean, there's the expected ones like, hey, help us with these events that are gargantuanly huge and the city lives and dies by them.
Yeah, no, you know, it's been a really smooth transition coming into
nice.
This particular role.
Mm-hmm.
The team that I get to work with is really qualified and they're mm-hmm. really good at what they do. So mm-hmm. that's been helpful. My board's been really helpful. So as far as transitioning in, I think the biggest thing has been more personally for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to being that event planner and that event
executor.
Oh,
sure.
And now I'm not that person.
Sure.
So trying to keep myself out of the details
okay.
has been the most challenging.
Like, settle down, Sarah.
Yes,
back it up. Okay.
Just stuff I just really shouldn't be involved in.
Sure.
And then as well as patience isn't one of my strong suits.
Fair.
And... So I want to come in and I want to disrupt because that's mm-hmm. what I do. I want to come in and disrupt everything and mm-hmm. change these things and,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my mind, make it better, which
sure.
it might that we have no idea if it might be better because I haven't seen
right.
the event yet.
Sure. Oh, so you have no baseline.
Right. So I have no baseline. I'm just making assumptions and
sure.
we both know what that does.
Right.
So just having the patience to take this, you know, next full couple of months here to really see these events
mm-hmm.
and then analyze them.
Sure.
I think it's the patience and then the just taking myself out of that executor role
uh-huh.
has been a little challenging.
All right. So
I'll
from a day-to-day point of view, what does a typical day look like for you?
Oh gosh.
Is there a typical day?
There's not a huge typical day. I started today on TV.
All right. Did you really?
So I did. Yep. So I did an interview with WKOW
okay.
on TV this morning. But, you know, normally my days are really just trying to understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to understand the financial side of things.
Sure.
I'm looking at our investments over the last 30 years. I'm taking the last 10 years right now.
Sure.
I'm looking at, like, where have we invested?
You're talking in equipment or?
No, like investments, like stocks and bonds.
Oh, like literally
like
investments.
That.
Yep. Okay.
Are we doing our banking correctly? I'm looking at our insurance. Do
sure.
we have proper insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Like operationally, are we running efficiently?
Sure.
Coming up with a new strategic plan.
Okay.
Working in conjunction with the board.
Mm-hmm.
So the last strategic plan was done. You know, was done a while ago. So now it's coming back and going, okay, where are we at?
Sure.
And strategically, where do we want to go into the future?
Mm-hmm.
So working a lot with that, trying to get to know all of the race day staff.
Sure.
And how to work with them.
Right.
Because they're independent contractors, so they're not
okay.
employees.
All right.
But still figuring out.
Sure.
Their motivators.
Right. So this is going to be a time when you need something done.
Yeah.
And you're going to need them to do it.
I bring donuts every week. No,
sure.
I'm just kidding. I should.
To
That's
a bunch
a
of racers.
I'm Yes. Well, they can eat all that stuff. Carbs, right?
All right.
I
think so.
Maybe
sure.
they can. I don't know.
Sure.
Who knows?
Sure.
But yeah, so it's a lot of just trying to understand operationally how MFI works,
mm-hmm.
strategically where we've been and where we want to go.
Sure.
And then trying to implement those things. So making
okay.
sure we're staying on message.
Sure.
And doing what we want to do.
Sure. So from a strategic vision point of view, I imagine you have some ideas. And the board individually, board members probably have some ideas.
Right.
So how do you get those to coincide?
Communication.
Okay.
So one of the things, you know, we'll have a retreat and get everyone together. And
a little you-rah-rah retreat kind of thing?
No, I'll just lock them all in a room and say, go at it.
Here's a whiteboard, make it happen.
Yeah. It's survival of the fittest right
sure.
now for the ideas. No, we'll just communicate and really talk about, that's where I'll really depend on the board and their history of what MFI has been
mm-hmm.
and talking about where MFI can go.
Sure.
You know, the board, MFI is really the board's organization.
Sure.
And I'm just their tool necessary, you know, I'm their tool to implement their strategy. The board has to drive the strategy.
Sure.
They have to come up with that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just need to be there to help ask the right questions and guide them and make sure that we're looking at things from all angles.
Sure.
And bringing new opportunities forward of... Sometimes when you've been in something so long, it can be hard to look outside.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So just
this
helping
is Labor
them do
Day,
that.
Taste of Madison, blah, blah, blah.
Right. This is what we've always done, or this event runs itself.
Sure.
Or, and that's, I mean.
that is so not true.
That's so not true. Well, but people who don't do events
think
that events are easy.
Right.
I'll get called all the time to be like, oh, you're a party planner.
Really?
Yeah. And nothing's wrong with party planners, but I want to be like, okay.
It's not some 5-year-old kid with a bunch of cake.
Right. Well, and I just say, okay, yep. Mm-hmm, yeah, I am. It's great.
Sure.
But. You know, or I had one person one time tell me we were working on an event together that they'll just take, as long as we just take care of the big stuff, the details will just work themselves out. And that is just, when it comes to events, so
like
not
liability.
The truth. Oh my gosh. It's the details.
Sure.
You have to have all the details.
Mm-hmm.
No one notices the details until they're missing.
Right.
That's the biggest thing.
Sure.
So we, but you know, speaking of kids with cake, we just planned a birthday party for my 8-year-old.
Oh, nice.
And my husband was in charge of it.
Okay.
And so I made him sit down with me and like walk through this whole birthday party.
Oh,
we were
really?
Doing real life Minecraft.
Sure.
Okay. It was so cool. He really knocked it out of the park.
Okay.
But just walking through every single aspect of it.
All right.
From the little kid who's coming to us planning it. And he looked at me. He's like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of work.
For an 8-year-old's
For
birthday
an 8-year-old's
party.
Birthday party.
Sure.
But that's the difference, walking through it from your guest perspective.
Sure. And figuring out what do you do if, right? Kid
what
spills
do do
their
if?
Punch or whatever.
Well, yeah. But all the little things. I mean, this sounds funny, but like if I'm going to have guests over a party at my house, like I have a few different hand towels ready in my bathroom so that 90 minutes in when the hand towel's all wet, you just change it out. Your
nice.
Guest experience. I mean, it sounds really silly when you talk like that, but...
Your guest experience within your house.
My guest experience within my house.
I gotta say, that does sound silly, but it also sounds extremely logical.
It's totally logical,
sure.
Yeah. So just thinking about things from who's coming and what they're going to go
through.
Funny. Yeah.
You know, it's funny you said that when I was in college, I was broke. Like most college kids,
yes,
I believe,
like
used to
us.
Be.
Oh.
Anyways, we hit for the soap for the sink. We're so cheap, we didn't really pay for soap.
Sure.
So we ended up with the little slivers of soap we ended up with in the shower. So we just balled those together. And that was the soap in the bathroom.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
So we
That's a great idea.
Well, I thought so. But we had this party at our place. And this girl's like, that's the soap. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, what do you expect?
We saved $1.50. What do you want from me?
$1.50. That's a lot.
Or whatever. You
could
know
buy
what I mean?
Like 15 boxes of ramen noodles.
Yeah.
For that
you know
in
what
college.
I mean? Yeah.
I do know what you mean. I was in college once.
Yeah. It's like I could throw it away. I could save it. I'm saving the world here. Just settle
You're saving
down.
The world. Yeah. So, I mean, that's really what events come down to. Or, you know, as I'm starting to analyze the taste.
Sure.
There's so many people that come to the taste.
Mm-hmm.
We really can't grow from an attendance standpoint.
Because just capacity?
Just capacity around the square. You can only fit so many people safety.
250,000 is a good number.
250,000. So when I look at the taste of how to improve it, it comes down to some of those guest experience and vendor experience things.
Sure.
Are there ways we can streamline?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the bathrooms in the right area?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have enough garbage cans? How do the lines work?
Sure.
As a vendor, what's your move-in and move-out process look like?
Mm-hmm.
Just so it's smoother and a better experience for everyone.
Sure.
So that's some of the stuff that I'll bring to the
table
with my new role.
I get it. Are you okay with me challenging you a little bit?
Oh, heavens. I think this whole thing's been a little challenging.
No, this has been easy. Except for the kids' birthday party part.
Except for the kids' birthday party.
So Madison has had some more shooting type stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
In crowded places, which isn't ideal. So how do you deal with that, or do you deal with that? Like, how does that even come into play with people that may not be, it may scare people from going, even though realistically it's a rare event.
Right.
It's still more commonplace, right?
Yeah. So I don't have a great answer other than we do plan for that. So we work really closely with the Madison Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
We have an emergency plan all figured out from both an active shooter to something as simple as like a severe weather warning.
Oh, sure.
So we do have plans in place. I'm not going to talk about the details
now,
but we do have plans in place.
Sure.
Being in the event industry, I myself have gone through a bunch of active shooter trainings, mass casualty trainings, bomb trainings. Right. And it's really scary to have to think about that.
It's weird.
It's really weird. And you just, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a good, I feel like I should have a political answer, like, ready.
Right.
But I don't.
Well, I don't, yeah, not even necessarily a political one, but I don't know what a good answer is.
No, other than don't shoot people.
Yeah. It's
like, just don't.
What?
Just don't shoot people.
Yeah, it seems realistic, I guess.
It seems realistic. That would be very scary. So, but we do, with that new Taste of Madison app, that will be one way that we'll push out notifications. I mean, if there's a shooting, people will know.
Right.
But if it were, say, severe weather or, you know, something that's not quite as noticeable as a gunshot, that'll get pushed out on that app.
Sure.
So anybody who's there, anybody who might be coming would get notified, don't come, seek shelter, stay away. And then the police are very active at Taste of Madison. So we have a really strong presence and a really great relationship with the city.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Yeah. So I guess since the Taste of Madison is coming up, what are some recommendations that you would give to people that are going to visit the Taste of Madison or that were thinking about visiting, right?
Yeah, download the app.
Okay.
Because that's something that we're just not printing these printed programs like we have in the past. You know, first of all, it's not friendly at all for the earth. So it's all on your phone.
Sure.
So that would be the number one thing.
Okay.
Look at the floor plan. If you really want something printed, we have printables on the website. So you can print off, you know, what the floor plan looks like, all the restaurants, all their menus.
Sure.
And then I would just come hungry.
All right.
Come hungry, wear your sunscreen.
All right.
Wear your tennis shoes.
Sure.
And then patience. I think with any event, whether it's Sweet Corn Festival this past weekend, or it's Taste, or it's just going school shopping at Target.
Oh my gosh, just, my wife was telling me about that.
Just be patient.
It's like, wear your shoulder pads. Holy cow.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, wear your shoulder pads, wear a helmet. And, you know, and be willing to try something new.
Sure.
And then also tip the beverage stands. Yeah, they're making money to fund their nonprofit for the year.
Yeah,
so
I volunteered at one of those, I think a couple times. I couldn't even tell you what group it was for. But it was interesting how just the interaction.
Right.
And people are having fun.
People are having fun.
Right. Just help them have fun.
It's all in good fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you have ideas on things we can do to improve, I'm always open to new suggestions.
Well, I don't. I think it's a fun event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So I hope you come out.
Yeah. We'll totally come out.
Let me know if you do.
Or I imagine I will come out. I don't know.
Buy you a Pepsi.
Oh, nice. So this will be the first one that you've been to for a while.
I know. I shouldn't admit that on air.
It's totally fine.
But it's true.
It's honesty.
It's the truth. And it's one of the things that I hope to do to, in my mind, improve and make it more accessible to all people to come to the event.
Well, now you'll come there with a perspective saying, how can we make this better?
How can we make this better?
Instead of what's next to eat, though maybe that would be in there as well.
Well, and if you come to the Taste, one thing that we're doing this year is we're engaging in a big survey. So there will be UW MBA students walking around administering a survey. So if someone stops you, I granted it's going to take 5 or 10 minutes, but please be nice to them, just like the salesperson.
Right.
And if you have the time, do the survey, because this is the data that I can take back to make Taste appeal to more people. Yeah,
sure.
To make it even better.
So did they come to you for that, or did you come to them?
I went to them for that. Yep.
Very clever. Look at you disrupting here.
Oh, heavens. Oh, man. No, that was in the process. I can't even take credit. That was in the process way before me.
All right.
I'm just involved in it now.
Sure.
But yeah, so it's an interesting road.
Are there more events that are coming down the pipeline that you want to tell us about, or is there...
Not as of right now.
Okay.
I hope to have some more Madison Festival events in the future, but as of right now, I think our strategy needs to stay on these three events and making them even better and enhancing them. And, you know, Madison Marathon is a pretty serious marathon, and it's growing, which is contrary to the trend in the marathon world.
Is it really?
Yeah, marathons are declining. The runner participation is declining.
Really?
Yeah, but not Madison Marathon.
All right.
So, you know, it's a really challenging course. You can win money if you win.
Okay.
We're really enhancing the finish line, the post-event party this year.
Okay.
With the food and the band. And
so just tell me really quick, for the people that don't necessarily know, if they're not runners or never really considered it.
Sure.
The after the run parties are pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I know after my half marathon, I was eating everything I could find, and there was a ton of good food.
Right. Yeah, so that's one thing that got enhanced this year for Madison Marathon. So it's going to be warm food. So as soon as you finish as a participant, yeah, you can grab your mac and cheese for you.
Nice.
Grab your chili. You can grab your bra. You can grab whatever.
All right.
And then each participant in our race gets a Mick Ultra for free.
Okay.
And then we have additional craft beers available for sale.
Nice.
Featuring Madison Breweries.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
And, you know, music, a band, and just different fun things for the spectators to do because your family's coming to support you. And they don't necessarily have something to do unless they're following you mile to mile.
Sure.
So engaging them and Run Madtown in May will be really fun because the nighttime portion.
Oh, okay.
You know, music, glow sticks.
Oh, nice.
Just the whole, just a much like a really fun kind of party vibe at the end. Yeah, that's the more accessible one. That's the one you and I can do.
All right. That's high five there.
High five there.
So tell me what's your favorite part about this job for you?
So the event side of things is something that I really enjoy doing and I found I'm very good at. And I think it's that type A detailed organized personality.
Sure.
But when it comes to being involved in the community and actually making a difference, not just, you know, working for the man.
Right.
That's something that's really personally very important to me.
All right.
And so to find a position that so intimately combines those two things, the events with giving back and really being involved with the community, that's what I really enjoy.
Oh, very cool.
So that was something that was really important to me when I was kind of thinking about going back to work.
Nice. Back in.
Back in.
Back in working for
After
the man.
After taking a little bit of time, back in.
It's really not that bad working for the man, I have to tell, for my employees.
All right. Yes. Well, everyone should work for the man.
Sure. Right. Here we go.
Work for the man.
Or at least work
for
James.
And then volunteer.
Right.
Volunteer. Yeah, or work for James.
That's fair. That's super cool. Yeah. So if people want to learn more about the Madison Festivals, is there a website?
There is a website. So it's madisonfestivals.com.
Okay.
But I really, you know, I urge people to go more to our event websites, the Taste of Madison, the Madison Marathon, or runmadtown.com, and that's where they can learn a lot more about the events.
Sure.
But Madison Festivals, check us out. We have a LinkedIn page.
We
have a website.
Yep. Very cool.
So that'll be an area of growth in 2020.
Sure. Boom, boom, areas. The disruptor Sarah. I love it.
So take that with a grain of salt.
Awesome. That's fair. Well, thank you for being on the show, Sarah. This has been awesome.
Thank you.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com. As well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our wonderful guest, Sarah Clemmy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on here. This is so good. President of Madison Festivals. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.